the girlfriend possibility, but about two blocks north. That'd be kind of a expensive whipstock deal, and then he'd have to, if he'd okay there, he'd have to get trespass rights to go through other property to get to where he wanted to expose and to the zones he wanted to drill to. But he found a drilling site, though, himself, or his leasemen did, on Orange Avenue, south east corner of Orange and 23rd, which is belongs to that, let's see, O'Meara and Rogers, the oil fuel service company there, and they're on the land, and their offices on part of it there, and so apparently he got both the mineral rights and an island from them to drill from there. He reported that to me later, and he had two men out leasing the mineral rights on the property all between Walnut and Orange and south of Burnett Crown down to the tracks. And he required enough leases all right to drill it. But his problem is the city of Signal Hill, and he's a little too, with the ordinances they have, he's a little too adjacent to that school building that's down on east of them on 23rd, faces Walnut, that primary school on. And so he's having to, and has applied for a variance on that ordinance to drill. They haven't granted it, but they feel certain. I think Paul Jr. is handling that for him with the city council and the planning commission and all the bureaucrats that they have to go through. And the other problem was, well, if he even got a well, where are they going to allow him to have storage? And so that's one thing that's working out right now, and I'm trying to help him on that. But to satisfy myself, I talked with several now of the geologists. Al Carey, one of them, and two or three other. One of them's a geophysicist and used to be the Signal on Gas, and another one was the Signal on Gas, and another one was a private consultant. I said, well, how about south of the, on the south side of the fault and south of Burnett and on down quarter of a mile, half a mile? Well, and I told them the project that was planned. They said, well, structurally, it shouldn't be there. I mean, if we go by the contours of the structures that they know about now, and from drilling and successful and unsuccessful drilling, our opinion would be it would be just a duster. But they said, don't sell south of the fault too short. They said, we don't know as much about the areas south of the fault as we do north of the fault. It has never been successfully defined as well as north of the fault. So I said, if there should happen to be some cross faults down there, he could get into a virgin zone that had never been drilled into in the early days, and because of the fact that the wells that were drilled there did go up structure. They wouldn't have penetrated anything that might exist because of the crosswell down structure. So they said, don't sell it entirely short, but said, I wouldn't drill a well there myself, but it couldn't entirely impossible. Well, Paul is living under the illusions that he's going to get $2,000, $3,000, and $4,000 their wells, and he's going to do 21 of them. Well, I'm rather certain that his children are gonna not allow him to spend his own money on it. And he admitted to me that he had people had come to him that wanted to drill and spend some money on oil wells, and I'm sure he has money to do it with, because he has a rig available to him from Atlantic Oil Company, who also are drilling contractors, and they drill dozens and dozens and dozens of wells for him down through the years, and they told him as soon as he was, had his permit and was ready to go, they were ready to move in, they'd supply a rig all right. So apparently they're not questioning his capacity for cash on the bellhead for drilling, but I wouldn't think much of it myself, but as these geophysicists and geologists say, there's a possibility that if there's some cross belts we don't know about down there, it could be a primary zone there untouched, and he'd fool everybody. But I just afraid that he's going to be a disappointed Paul McKenzie again, and that won't be good for him. But you'd be surprised how well he looks for 91 years of age. And he's sharp as a button about some things, or current things he has a little trouble remembering. But he had a lot of experiences in the early days. I didn't ever tell you about him before, did I? Of course, he really wasn't, you might say, a grassroots farmer. He never worked at it, nor does he today know about growing and production far as the mechanics too much about it. He knows you have to sit casing and you have to set a liner and do this and that and the other, but he never did anything but contract the wells and have them drilled where he wanted them drilled, and he was highly successful. He brought in the best well that was produced or discovered in this so-called Wardlow or airport zone about 55, 56 long in there. There was a fault of a cross-fault structure north of the fault, out there towards the airport, Cherry Avenue, and even west a little bit and north. And he acquired a lease from the Irwin Welding Works, I remember. And there had been other wells drilled out there, fairly successful. He acquired the Irwin Welding lease, the mineral rights, and drilled the well there, and he got the largest well that was ever produced out there. Today he'll tell you a story that was 5,000-6,000 barrels a day. It wasn't ever that, but it was a terrific well. I handled the oil. I was with Century Oil Company then, and I made a contract with him. But we built a pipeline from his well on Cherry, it's south of Wardlow there a little ways. Went across. I know I had to get a right away from Fred Reedman's property, who had been leased out to Hancock Oil Company, and they got some pretty fair wells there. But none of them were as good as Paul's well. It flowed, and never was it 6,000 barrels a day, except maybe on gauging it the first few hours, it probably may have flowed at that rate. But consistently, it wasn't a 5,000-6,000. But it was good for about 2,000 barrels a day, and it averaged over 1,200 barrels a day the first year and flowed all that time. So I built a pipeline for Century Oil Company's account from his lease that had to go across Reedman's property, and Fred happened to the contemporary of mine. He's an attorney, a very fine man, inactive now, but if you dig around, you'll find Fred Riemann showing up here and there. Very fine gentleman. And last I heard, he was retired. He owned 10 acres in there that he leased to Hancock. But he gave me a right-of-way for the pipeline, and we built the line down Walnut Avenue into our line that ran down Spring Street and out down to 28th and then to our refinery. But it flowed for over a year. It was a long time before we had to pump it. Terrific well, 32 gravity oil. We were happy to have that on stream. And he'd been so highly successful down through the years that trying to do what he's doing, just in my opinion, it's a little bit post-mortem and going to be disappointing to him. But he was successful. And he's still, the family's still the owners of considerable real estate all over town. And Paul Jr. is, as I know, still active in the construction business. Well, not much of it going on now, but
were you involved at all in with Alvarez Heights or Steel Beach West?
Well, in what way? You mean active in? I was not active in participating in anything.
Did you sell lubricating oil?
I did that, and I did buy crude oil down there during that boom. I did have one experience down there with J. Paul Getty. Remember who he was?
Yeah, I know he's a big famous oil person.
Yeah, almost a billionaire.
Yes.
He was the son of George Getty, and they had been comparatively successful up until, well, let's say the time I first met Paul. Getty Oil was making good progress. Today they're one of the largest independent producers in the country, especially in California. They're second only Standard in oil production in California. Very successful company. Well, Alamance Heights was booming then. The town lot area of Seal Beach is what it was. And I was down there active in trying to buy crude oil mostly, and maybe selling something now and then too, lubricating oils. But some time around 28 and 29, I think it was 28, I was down there, and J. Paul Getty wasn't an imposing figure in the Getty Oil Company yet, but he was the son of Mr. and Mrs. Getty. And he was drilling a well on his own account there on the southwest corner of Ultimo and Colorado there. It's vacant there now, and south of there there's some wells, and there's building home south, or condominiums, whatever they are, south there now. He was drilling a well there on his own account, and I went down there to see the superintendent. I was trying to sell him something. I wasn't at the time interested in buying the oil, because I was a union, and they weren't interested in buying oil in that area, and I wasn't in that phase of the operation with them anyway at the time. But what was his name? Oh, Rufus Fadler was his superintendent. I remember that. So I went down to see Rufus, see if I could do some business with him. And they were about to swab the well and bring it on production. And they had a little doghouse down there. And when I arrived in my Model T, he said, "Saul," he says, "you better go in the doghouse. We're going to pull the swab and you'll get all messed up. They didn't have oil, so it was a deficiency they have today, which precludes doing anything like that way. You don't put them on production that way. So there's a real matter dressed man there, out in the yard, out in the lease where I was. He had a fedora on him, wax mustache and spats, and he carried a cane, and a real handsome, imposing figure, all right. So we both ran into the doghouse, and following us in, Rufus came in, and I was standing there opposite this man who didn't introduce himself, and I didn't really know who he was, and Rufus came in and said, "Sol," he says, "this is J. Paul Getty. Mr. Getty, this is Sol Alexander." So I stuck my hand out to shake hands with him, and he looked down at my hand and looked up at me and nodded his head, and that's all he did. Put his hand behind him with his cane. He's resting on his cane. Well, that was sort of embarrassing. And it was to Rufus Fadler, too. And so I didn't say any more to the man. I just turned around and sat down on the bench there for a while. And so a little later, Rufus came in and said, "Well, it's all clear now. You can come out if you want to." And so J. Paul went out first and got in his car, and after talking with Rufus for a few minutes, then went on his way. So Rufus came up to me and said, "Sol," he said, "I'm sure embarrassed about that," he said, "but, you know," he said, "that's the old man's son for you." He said, "just came back from Paris," and he says he plays the field over there, and as a matter of fact, he says, "it's just a damn nincompoop." So that's what we all think of him, and he said, "please disregard it." He says, "you haven't lost anything." Well, so I did disregard it. That's all I could do. But when he made the remark that J. Paul Getty was a nincompoop, that was way far off the beam, because J. Paul Getty turned out to be a real business brain, a genius. He was way far beyond, he had abilities beyond his father George, and he took that company. It was fairly substantial. He had a lot to work with to begin with, but he made it into one of the world's largest independent producing oil companies. So he really sold him short by making that remark. Well, of course, he was acting the part, all right. But when he came into the capacity of heading the company up and running the affairs of the company, he outdid his father by miles. Just like my young son is outdoing me.
Was he in the oil business?
My son?
Yeah. What's he doing? What's he doing?
He's up in Bakersfield. He was with Golden Bear. Well, he first, if you call it oil business, he worked about 5 years for Southwest Christian Oil Company. Producers, manufacturers of greases and specialty lube oils. Have several plants in the United States, and he was an outside man for them 5 years, and then he got into the Golden Bear Oil Company 7, 8, 9 years ago, worked a year for them, and then he had an opportunity to go in with a man who had just sold his refinery in Bakersfield, but he wanted David to come in with him. He's going to go back into business, buying and selling crude oil and processing it. And they've done quite well. They bought the old Navy Oil Company out up there a few years ago and built some card lock stations, some automated stations where there isn't anyone in attendance. It's all done by computer on the back of the lot 24 hours a day. They're doing that, and they're process exchanging crude oil and products and building some more car dock stations in Phoenix and Tucson and probably Las Vegas and Reno later. That's done fairly well. And but he'll be 37 this month. But he's a hard working boy, but he also absorbs rapidly and retains knowledge pretty well. And he moves pretty fast. He's here today and gone tomorrow to Houston or New Orleans or Abilene. Or he called me once in a while and checks up on me. He called me the other night from Phoenix and said we're down there building the third station there and foundation of the lake for the fourth one, and then they'll move to Tucson and go some there. But they're in several phases of the oil business. That property, they have their own office building up on Oak Street and Baker Street. They built a two-story office structure there. They occupied part of it and rent the rest out. Yes, he's doing quite well.
Talking about Seal Beach or LVS Heights or whatever, in later years, did you buy crews? Were there independent operators in there too?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I bought crews there. Most of it I had to truck out of there. But it's a pretty good grade of crude oil. There again, we had a lot of water produced. And later years, after the bloom wore off of that area and the oil became extremely wet, there was a well or two down there, one for sure that Dow Chemical took over, and they wanted to brine the water and principally for their processing. They had a plant down in Seal Beach area there. So they figured they would probably get some oil. And so they put a reeder pump down, the bottom hole pump, a centrifugal pump, rather than a plunger pump, as you see the wells mostly produce from that with that type of pump in it. But this was the centrifugal pump that they put with it down where the liquids come into the annulus of the, and they successfully for several years pumped that well. By producing several thousand barrels of water a day, they were getting 70, 80, 90 barrels of oil a day, too. So they were having their cake and eating it, too. They finally had to abandon that. But that method is used several places, though, where there's high volumes of fluid. And if they don't have too much sand problem, they're all right, but once they have any flowing sand, they can get into trouble with their pumps, and they just wouldn't function right, getting sand into the gears of the pump, and they'd just go kaput then, they wouldn't. But they're, in some cases, they're successful.
What about that rig that's drilling and whatever's going on down there by Recreation Park now?
Where?
Isn't there in that general area? It's like on Colorado and off of PCH.
Oh, south of there.
Yeah.
Danny Elliott has drilled got poor wealth down there. I don't know how good they are, but in fact, he called me from Reno today at the club. I had a call in for him and on another unrelated matter, and he was nice enough to pick up the call when he checked into his office and called me at the club, and we had a little conversation. But he built those wells south, just down by the marina there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're producing them. What quantity, I don't know. He's never given out any production figures on them. I understand he's maybe going to drill some more there. He had that idea a long time ago, and many years ago was acquiring leases down there, and finally got around to drilling it just the last year and a half, 2 years.
Who is he? Is he involved?
Dan Elliott? He's the son of Walter Elliott, who was a very successful explorationist and producer on Signal Hill. And I know him quite well, his father before him, and very honorable man, very honorable family. He was also, I think, a consultant for the old Sunset Oil Company, or Sunset, later became known as Sunset International, which was an outgrowth of the old C.C. Julian thing way back in San Fe Springs days. And a very fine gentleman. And incidentally, he was quite a yachtsman and used to pilot his own sailboats on these Honolulu races to Honolulu and down to where, Acapulco from here to Acapulco. I don't know too much that sport, but, and his young son Dan was nurtured into that too as he went along during the years, and I don't know whether he's doing it currently, he may not be, but up till some few years ago, his service was quite in demand for yacht owners, people that wanted a real seasoned and experienced pilot, or whatever you call him, on a sailboat racer. He may still be doing it occasionally, but I rather doubt. He's kind of busy, and he said he's this morning he was looking over some stuff in Oklahoma, some of that shallow drilling in northeast Oklahoma there, and we had a little conversation, but that's who he is, and the son of Walt Elliott. Everybody around the hill remembers Walt. I didn't know Danny, too, but they remember Walt because of our generation, and we did a lot of business with those guys. And Danny succeeded to it, and his mother. I think his mother's still living. Possibly. I haven't been real close to him lately, but
there are still places around here to drill oil wells. There are still places around here that oil wells might be drilled without doing offshore.
Yes, that area down there apparently wasn't thoroughly explored. The evidence that Danny did get some wells down there, so the structure probably extends down there ways, and I think principally because the area became urbanized south of there, and then it was also, well, we had the Olympics water sports there, and what, when did we have them here? 32, and difficult to get permits to drill in those areas, but I would say there must be some crude south and east and maybe a little northwest of there. Well, the recreation park area.
Mm-hmm.
It was drilled by a Herbell. That was Jerry Campbell and his partner, Pete Herter. I was, sort of involved in that when they drilled it. There's a hole in the donut, they called it. Because it was a little structure they did discover there. They drilled, I think, 5 wells. 4 of them were successful. In the middle of the park there, and you know, they drilled it with electric drilling rigs, and it was wasn't any mess or bother, and they had a big board fence up around, so they didn't hardly know it was operating there. And I remember J.A. was a very good friend of mine. He had